Hello, my name is Peggy Nichols, and welcome to Serenity, a service for your well-being. I like to start my program off by saying I am so happy to be returning to the BBS radio. I had taken a leave of absence due to my relocating to wonderful Cape Coral, Florida. But now that I'm all snuggled in, boxes unpacked, the dust has settled, I'm ready to get back to work. I founded Serenity back in 2005. I originally wanted a place where people could come to that were seeking different avenues of wellness. I love serving people. I have been blessed by having several gifts, and I wanted to put them to use. So by having the storefront on Main Street, Marshall, Michigan, I was able to offer services such as Reiki, touch assist healing, hot stone and crystal therapy, chakra and aura cleansing, intuitive energy consultation, and classes and spiritual guidance. I don't work alone. I have a wonderful spirit guide who's been with me many, many years, and his name is Anthony. So he's always with me, and we work together as a team. Through BBS Radio, I hope that I can continue being of service. Though I may not have the storefront any longer, I'm hoping that with my programs, I can bring simple and easy ways for you to find avenues of wellness, things that you can incorporate into your life, certain changes that you can find ways of being at peace with yourself, to find serenity. With each program, I hope to bring forth simple and easy techniques, ways that you can incorporate activities by bringing in the use of stones, meditation, Reiki, various ways of improving your wellness, helping you again to be the best of your best. Before my relocating from Michigan down to Florida, I had the privilege of being interviewed by a wonderful journalist from Canada. She worked for a wonderful radio station there. She was a client, but we became very good friends. And before my leaving, she wanted to sit down with me and to have an interview. And through this, I would have a means of people hearing it and learning who and what I am, and a way of introducing myself to you. For the next 45 minutes, I hope you will enjoy what Madonna Hamill calls, in her own words, an interview with Peggy Nichols. And when it has finished, I will step in to close this evening's program. So please sit back and enjoy.
In 2003, Peggy Bragdon opened Serenity, a storefront establishment nestled on Main Street in the Midwest, offering well-being services and spiritual advice. Business took off, and Peggy began setting her sights beyond the one building. So before she explored beyond the town of Marshall, Michigan, I decided to discover what made Serenity such a success.
So this is a good place to start because we're actually in your inner sanctum, your back room.
This is my realm. The building is absolutely beautiful. People that come in for the sessions, they're calm, they're relaxed, they feel safe. And that's what I need because they're giving me control, if you will, for that hour, two or three that I'm going to be working on them.
So did you have to do some work to bring this to speed, or was it already nice?
It was already nice. When I first came across the building, It was late at night, and I just stood there, and I put my hands upon the door, and I swear I could hear it say, "Welcome. We've been waiting for you." And that brings me to tears, because it really touched my soul that this is where I belong. I don't know why at the moment, the full picture of it, but this is where I'm to be.
But when you came here to Marshall, you knew what you wanted to do, but you also had to sort of work at it slowly, right? From the back room to the storefront.
Absolutely. And amazing enough, I became a shoe cobbler, of all things. And many of the articles on me, I had to laugh because they go, she comes from working on soles, meaning like the bottom of your feet, to soles of the individual. And about 3 years ago, Spirit goes, we're selling the shoe business. I asked Anthony, my spirit guide, why this building? You know, why am I brought here? A couple of days pass, and in walks this old man, older than Methuselah, and I say that with respect, and he comes in and he looks around and he smiles and he goes, do you know any information about Marshall, the history? And I went, no, I'm sorry to say, I really don't. I'll be back. He leaves, and a few hours later he comes back, and I have the actual paper where he typed on both sides the history of Marshall. The main point, here comes my answer. In 1869, there was a spiritual movement in Marshall. On Marshall's Main Street, there was a center called Serenity, where people would come to learn about spiritual philosophy, but also to shop and enjoy the imported and exquisite antique furniture. Lo and behold, now before I know this, I sold a shoe business. I don't need much space to do energy work. I filled the rest of this building with antique furniture. And it was like it was at home. It vibrated. But my answer came. So what was happening from the 1869, that stopped because of the, unfortunately, more religion set in. And those who weren't open to spiritualism, and because of the aging, it just died out. So the building and its vortex basically just shut down.
People will want to know what you mean by a vortex.
A vortex is a wonderful doorway or entrance of energy that will open up and close and allow energy, spirits, if you will, to come in.
Do we have control over creating a vortex, or do we just find it? Is that like a geographical thing?
Yes. In many places, that older houses and buildings that have like a lot of limestone, that seems the limestone works in helping creating the power needed for a vortex.
Well, I remember when we were driving across the states, when we went, I think it was Sedona, and they were talking about the vortex of energy there.
Oh, matter of fact, my husband and I spent our honeymoon in Sedona, wanting to feel the experience of the energy there. And it's a very mixed energy, and those who are sensitive, and we can feel it more, not only the good energy, but the bad, the dark energy, and even see it, even having a visitors come into our room that were not of the love and light, my husband and I were ready to pack up our bags and said, we're gone. There are a lot of entities there in that area, but not all that are very pleasant. And it's unfortunate because you don't really need to go outside of your own home, your own community, to really connect. It's just learning how to draw in the energy, finding it within yourself first. And all the miracles that you want are right there inside of you. And it's just paying attention to them. But most people fear and doubt themselves. They don't want to go there. Or they might have a few glimpses where their third eye opens up and they see your projections of the future and things that they might not want to see. But we have it within us. But most people just don't want to go there. It's a very uncomfortable arena. So finding people who are able to guide and to teach you, to give you a better understanding of how to use your gifts, but also embracing protection and getting permission for a lot of the things that you do. I just did a past life yesterday with one of my associates. First thing we did, we asked for permission to go there because we're entering into another realm, asking for the protection with that and bringing in the gatekeeper so that we could be guided properly. When I do a past life, I always ask that we go to the life that is most important for this moment to find the answers that they may see. Well, when this particular individual, instead of going back to the life prior to the one she just had, went back into the time of the pharaohs in Egypt. And there, seeing herself, as I journey, you see yourself. I don't interpret for you. Feeling, embracing the people around her, connecting, touching, looking in the eyes. And this one individual, I said, this person, do you know this one in this particular life now? And she started to cry. And she goes, yes, it is my friend Pat. And we knew how somehow we were connected. Now we have the answer that Pat was a child of a pharaoh in Egypt. And Claude was the illegitimate child of the pharaoh. But they were there, and she grew up with her half-sister, but they didn't know until they were teenagers that they were truly sisters. But that connection, that feeling, that unknown that they were having all these years in their friendship, finally they got the answer. And it wasn't me giving it to them. It was being allowed to help journey them and seeing the answers for themselves.
Of all the things that you do in your work, I'm sure past life regressions are, dare I say, the most popular?
They're among, I would say, the top two. The first, I would say, probably people coming in for their aura chakra cleansing. Because the chakras, you know, the housing centers of your body, your timelines, when they're not working and functioning properly, it's like you can't get out of this chasing your tail syndrome, as I call it. So cleansing their aura field, reading their chakras, where we can pinpoint to the timeline, even seeing what caused the issue, bringing it forth, but then to finally let it go. This is probably one of my most popular of all sessions.
Do people know that's what they need? I can see somebody going, oh, I've heard about past life regressions. I'm going to try them. But how many people walk in that door, especially in the Midwest, and go, I need my chakras cleaned?
Not that many, honestly. As they may have heard about it, or most of my business is referrals. Someone who did come in, had the experience, and just absolutely amazed, telling a friend. And that's the best advertising, is truly that word of mouth. When somebody can go, you know, I tried this, and my God, this is how I feel. When I tell people when they're going to come in, weigh yourself, because after the session, you're going to be surprised how much less you weigh. And I have those from 3 to 10 pounds they will lose during that session, because energy, the heaviness, is a weight on you. And it goes. It's hard to explain, but it happens.
How do you explain how you work when you work with your aura cleansing or your chakra cleansing that is in a way that we would understand?
It's just learning how to read the vibration of energy. I work barefoot, so that way I can feel the vibration in my feet as well as my hands. But my connection is truly with my spirit guide. And so I hear him. I pay attention to the energy shifts in my hands and my feet. Certain vibrations will let me know of illnesses. So many people come in just for their aura chakras to be cleaned, but I can actually pick up physical problems. And the amount of energy you take from me will let me know the severity of the problem. And I just did one last night, and the lady was drawing so much energy, unbelievable amount, in her feminine area. And I asked her, I said, are you having problems here, and have for a while? And she admitted she had. And I said, well, you need to go back to your doctor, because what they're giving you isn't strong enough to take care of the problem. You still have this. And then we started addressing the symptoms and the pain levels that I was feeling, and she acknowledged it. So it's more than just working and balancing the chakras. It also helps me to find something that might be going on that you are aware of, but you haven't moved yourself to go to the doctor, or this is going to pass, or, oh, maybe this is gas I'm having, or, you know, acid reflux. It can be a lot more than that, because the body will never lie to itself. it will give you warnings. It's just we don't pay attention to them until it's too late.
So what would acid reflux actually, what could it be that wouldn't be acid?
Actually, that you have like a heart blockage. And so what's happening here is that it's getting hot, it's intensifying, and where there's a pressure there, so it's where the heart is not functioning properly. But here again, it's just a different vibrations will let me know if it is acid reflux. And I'll normally, Anthony, my spirit guide, will bring forth, okay, menu, this, and this needs to be taken off their diet. This, and this needs to be added. And it's so amazing because he's like my walk-in physician. Though I tell everybody, I am not a doctor. I only work with energy. I will describe the vibration to the best of my ability, and let's see if it resonates with you. Because I cannot interfere, you know, with destiny, karma, and I'm not a physician. But I can bring to their attention by the severity of the energy they take from me. And so far, I have not been wrong.
So, and what you're actually doing physically is standing over someone who's lying down and then like holding your hands over the different spots on their body.
Absolutely, because people, there are those that don't like touch, and I can respect that. And you really, I don't have to touch the body to read it. As I'm sitting across from you, I can start assessing and reading your energy.
Oh boy.
But I'm careful that I don't go into reading your mind, because that is an intrusion. And too many, I don't want to say psychics, but there are people who can just read minds and then they use that as a manipulation, or this is how they make their living. Where I rather be a medium, I work with a spirit guide. I want to read the energy around you. I want to use my third eye to address seeing your chakras, the color of them, how they're spinning. That's how I read, because I don't want to intrude your private space. Your thoughts are just that. They are private. They're yours alone. What you share is one thing, but it's an intrusion on my behalf for me to go there and to read it. And I just won't do that.
It would be exhausting for you, wouldn't it?
It can be, because you have to learn how to shut down. Because I have spirits that come in all the time. So it's learning how to control shutting the crown chakra so I don't pick up everything. My third eye, so that I'm not looking around and seeing all the spirits, so I can be more selective and tune in when I need to.
The word tuning gets used a lot. It's almost like you're a mechanic.
In a way, you are. It's learning how to manipulate and control my chakras. So it's that fine tuning, if you will, because if I leave them wide open, it can really drive a person crazy, I would think, because you're picking up everybody's vibration, their thoughts, and you can't do that, or I can't. And so to function well, to be the best of my best, is I know how to tune myself down. But when I need to assist somebody, it's right there. So I don't ever really shut off, nor do I want to.
You use the metaphor of tuning a car. Getting all the pistons firing at the same time.
Right. You know, when you take your car into the mechanic, you're giving him the keys, and what he's going to do is tune it up. Going to take, get all the pistons working on one another. It's like a car. If one piston is misfiring, well, you don't get the best gas mileage. You don't get the best performance out of it. It's the same thing with your chakras. I'm the mechanic. But as a mechanic that gives back your keys when you pick up your car, I too give back your keys. It is you that has to maintain it. It is your responsibility. I'm only tuning you. You're back in the driver's seat.
So what does somebody have to do to, okay, let's continue the metaphor, to make sure that their pistons are firing and they don't have you around?
They'll feel the change or shifts. You know, life, unfortunately, isn't always going to be perfect. You know, you may hear about a death or someone loses a job. It's learning how to control that energy and not let the energy control you. And learning to separate and keep what really belongs to you, but don't let other people's energy be your burden to carry. And that's probably the hardest for people to do, especially women, because we can fix it all. We can take care of it. We're the mothers. We can kiss the boo-boo and make it better. But we end up taking more and more things on us, then we lose ourselves. We lose, okay, what belongs to me? What is my energy? Now you've got everybody else's there, like magnets clinging to one another. So it's learning to control how much you take on, deal with a situation, then let it go, or find an answer and then move on. It's that dwelling and not even knowing how to answer a certain question, putting that responsibility on somebody else. The responsibility comes to you, nobody else, it's you. And what you allow to bring in, again, it's your choice. One of the sessions I did, Anthony brought forth, I thought the perfect metaphor, is that a plate, and he had it with little lines in it to divide, where you can buy a corral wire, and there's little divisions, and a little bit goes here, a little here. So it separates. And so Anthony says, tell her to use this. She's been allowing everybody to bring so much and putting on her plate that it's overflowing. And that's why she is so sick. That's why she can't function. She's living on medication. So let's clean the plate, bring forth this new one. That individual, your mother, only bite size, just enough that you can digest that day. Do you allow in that space? Your boyfriend only gets this much space. What's digestible for you? Here for your friends, here for work, here for yourself. But as the day passes, then you, like you would a dish, you wash it. You start fresh the next day. This is digestible. This is what you can deal with, and this is what you can handle. But when you just let things keep compiling up and over, you become overwhelmed by it.
It sounds like you and Anthony are a team.
Oh, absolutely. We are an absolute team. His energy and mine, as my bring my hands together, we intertwine. I can see him as clearly as I see you.
In this room right now?
Right now. Yes, he's right there.
He's always up in the corner. You always look up.
Yes, because that way I look directly to him, because I'm not only looking to him, but it makes me look into the heavens, the vibration to the divine, and the other spirit guides that may be there to work with me. Not ever bringing my head down.
And it's funny because, who knew? I don't really know what concept I did have of how a spirit guide and a person would talk to their spirit guide. But you guys are obviously familiar enough with each other that he has no problem interrupting your flow. Because many times I've spoken with you and you went, oh, Anthony's just telling me something. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. He is the third party, if you will. and it's wonderful because I don't ever shut him off. He's there. He's there to help me in every aspect of my life and those who come in to help. When I start a session, I stand behind you. I do a silent prayer and a meditation to connect not only to Anthony, but to the divine, that I'm guided with the utmost accuracy to hear and to see, to interpret what I hear to you, to be the best ambassador from the heavens that I can be.
So does everybody get their own Anthony?
There are spirit guides for everyone, yes. They're there, they come, but they're not used. They can leave. How awful to have a spirit guide waiting and waiting a lifetime for someone to tune in or to use them. They cannot be wasted. Their knowledge, their love, their help, then they need and have the right to go somewhere else. But spirit guides can change. I have 9, actually, altogether. Anthony is the main one that stays with me. But others come and go. It's through various teachings, heightening, my expansion with my gifts. Certain guides within will come in to help me.
Like the experts.
The experts, yes. Yeah. They're my teachers. Because I can read books, but it's, to me, they're the best teachers of all.
So what advice would you give to people that would like to know if they have a guide and they want to meet this guide or connect with this guide?
Basically, everyone knows about prayer. And you can pray. You can ask if it's in prayer or meditation. Ask if I do have a spirit guide with me. They're different from guardian angels. Okay, there's two different things here. Ask if you have one. Listen for the answer. You just may be surprised that you may feel a presence near you or hear a voice. But even when you are beginning, you still need to use caution, because as you want to heighten and grow, become of, say, love and light, the dark side is right there too, and they're not going to miss any opportunity to show up and go, oh, here I am. I'm the one that you seek. But the dark side, there's a very high price you pay if you listen and let them manipulate you. So even with Anthony, If the dark side brought forth 1,000, I will know truly who is Anthony. He's not the chameleon. And there's going to be chameleons along the way. But this is where your tests come in. This is where you prove your dedication, your loyalty, of really wanting to hide them and be driven for the right reasons. And it's not easy. People, it's like, okay, this week I'm going to connect with the spirit guide. They don't hear nothing. Oh, well, that was a piece of crap. You know how people get frustrated. Well, you just failed your first test, so you don't get what you want right now. Like a little brat. Well, we're not going to reward bad behavior. I wouldn't. So sometimes our first test is to see how patient you are. In my classes, the three Ps, permission, protection, and patience. Because it's not our timeline, it is theirs. And gifts, the teachings, they are very special. And there are things that we really do earn. They're just not that easily just given away. It's like earning an A in class. You got to work for it. And there are going to be those who want the A's. There are going to be those that, A's are okay. So you may not get as much. You get back from this as much as you put into it.
What do people come to you for mostly in terms of problem solving?
Mostly relationships. And which is okay. When I can read the energy around them. Yesterday, lady walks in, and I first go to go, well, how are you doing? And I stopped. I went, no, I'm going to tell you how you're doing. I looked at her. I go, you're really having a lot of problems, you and your husband. And you're trying to carry all the responsibility of the house, all the bill paying. And she started to weep, and she goes, can I see you right now? I went, come on. Brought her back. And again, how the energy of the relationship clings to you. The body will never lie. It's just knowing how to read the body. And when I go and do the chakras, when I get to the heart chakra, I will stand back and I will always ask permission, because I will have to tell you what I see there. And the heart chakra will never lie. My intent is to see, number one, what you're doing. Are you center stage? Are you taking care of yourself, your soul? Are you giving it what it needs from you? Then I'm going to read the energy about the relationship or the significant other you might have in your heart. Are you side by side? Are you nurturing one another? Or are you in the shadows? Are you being walked on? Is there a separation of energy? All of this shows me truly what that relationship is doing. And a lot of people don't want to hear that.
Part of the work, because you work with relationships and the heart and the truth, you don't let spouses or significant others in the room when you're doing work with one person.
I won't let them stay in the same building. Seriously, I will have the part. One person here, the other will have to leave the building. I do not want the intermix of energy. I do not want things that were said back here to be heard by anyone. One lady came in. She had no jewelry on. And people think, well, if I have jewelry, they'll know if I'm married or not. I don't need that. Anyway, get it to the heart chakra, gave me permission to go there. And I stepped back and I looked at her and I go, you know, if anyone asks, can you truly love two men at the same time equally? You can tell them yes. And her eyes got big and she says, well, what do you mean? I said, you're married. And this is how long you've been married. But you also have a lover. And you've been in that relationship for this amount of time. But they do stand beside you. And so you do love them equally. I said, but don't underestimate your husband. He's not as stupid as you think. And you're going to end up losing both of these men if you're not careful. Make a choice of who you want. And another couple came in. I didn't know them. They were from out of town. He wanted a reading. I said, okay. But I made the wife leave the building. So I go again. With your permission, I will read your heart chakra. But I will see everything. And he kind of, oh, yeah, okay, go ahead. You got permission. I said, okay. So I'm reading his heart chakra, and I looked at him and smiled. I went, you know, your wife is the cutest little brunette I've seen in a long time. Your problem is your blonde-headed mistress you've been sleeping with for 3 years. There is the root of your problem. Shall we continue? And he turned white, red, and he goes, okay, you know, so we finished the session. But getting to the heart of the matter is truly going to the heart.
You know, I'm blown away by the amount of information that you learn and are allowed, people allow you to divine out of them, way beyond a priest or a therapist, but that you don't seem to judge it one way or another.
No, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to help. That's what Serenity was founded on, being a service for your well-being. And finding that is not only to help heal the physical body, but the emotional, the spiritual, the soul. And that's what I want to do. And so it has to blanket a lot of avenues for different people. And doing sessions on people who have been violated, when seeing, you know, them being raped or beaten, because I see that visionary too. How horrible for them to have to carry that all the years that they do. And that finally someone, even some of these have gone to therapy, some of my clients, 3 to 5 years with therapists, still haven't got to the root of the problem. Because when it gets to that point of remembering that rape, that violation, they can't do it. It's hidden. That's why people have forgotten certain timelines of their life. I don't remember that. Those years of my life, I don't remember, because it shuts down. I can see it and gently reopen that for them, only because they need to let it go. They continue through life, but they're not having the best of their best in life. And this is what I want to do in helping people. Finally release themselves of that darkness, the negative, what they've been carrying, if it's just been a day or a lifetime. Get to the root of the problem. Let's deal with it, let it go. And sometimes it's just as easy as finally them admitting it. This happened. Cry. Let it out. Let it out. I'll suggest maybe to people, go home, write down all the pain, all the anger, everything you can remember. Read it. Burn it. Because it's not for anybody else to see. Feel that you are finally free of that. Doing children that have been violated is probably the most difficult for me. To see their innocence taken away from them at such an early age. But with them, I'm glad that whoever, the mother, grandmother, whoever it is bringing them in, are desperate to find a way for them to have a normalcy in their life and to try what I do. Working with their chakras, and they're still all in development, but we'll take a balloon, and I go, you know, take this balloon, blow into it. Every time you blow into it, I want you to put the pain, the anger, the hurt, all that into that balloon. And when you're done, if it takes one balloon or a dozen, we're going to take them outside, and you're going to see all that be released from you. It's not going to hurt you anymore. It's just planning that with those children, that they are free. In their mind, I saw it go away from me. It's not there anymore in me. It gives them a fair chance now at life again. But it's the same thing with adults. If it's through crying, if it's through the writing, if it's going to the gravesite of someone who violated you, and getting mad and cursing them. Let it out and feel free and let your life begin once again. I had a lady who came in, 63 years old, not to get too graphic, did not know what an orgasm was. 63 years old, one horrible relationship after another. Couldn't understand why. As I'm doing the chakras, the root chakra, which is from your birth to 7, she was raped and violated at the age of 5. So no wonder she has no pleasure in sex. No wonder a bad relationship went after another, because the imprint, the trust that she should have had with this man that violated was gone. How do you trust when someone you're supposed to love and trust does that to you? And it was so wonderful. She felt good after we completed the session. And she said, you know, I always felt something happened to me, but I couldn't remember. But now it comes back. I do remember. And I know who did it to me. And she says, well, maybe now at 63, I can have an orgasm. So out of something that was horrible and traumatic, she could walk out laughing. She knew what was the root of her problem. And that's what we can do here in just a matter of hours.
What do you do when you see something and the other person, it's pretty clear the other person doesn't have their memory of it, but you tell them or, you know, it comes up, how do you deal with all that trauma? Because that is like a psychological situation on your hands.
Well, that's why I do the chakras in reverse. Most people start at the root chakra and work to the crown. I prefer working from the crown backwards in your life. Because now you're an adult, you're familiar with all the things that have been happening. So within the first couple chakras, if I hit right at home with you, what's going on now and present, this and that, I've built some concrete confidence now. Like, wow, she's right about this. So then as we continue hitting on things that are very close and familiar, when we get to that arena, because it is the beginning of their life, I have some credibility now, and that's why I will always start at the crown. Because then when I get to that arena of birth to 7, or the second chakra, 7 to 14, I have gained confidence. So if I do walk into that arena that I'm going to see, and I pretty much know when you walk in the timeline, the issue, because I'll feel your pain. So it prepares me. But it's also me working. I want to make sure that they're prepared time I get to that timeline.
What would you say to somebody who's asking you, you know, they're listening to this for the first time and they're curious, but they're either skeptical or frightened? What's their little first baby step they could take?
I think just really ask themselves, are they happy? Is there that one null question in their mind that they've always carried that maybe wanting an answer? Why not? What do they have to lose? It's painless in many ways.
You know, I see a lot of people come in here, and for the most part, they seem to be women 40 and older who are maybe looking for a change, or they know something's a lot deeper than they've allowed themselves to plumb, and now they want to. And sometimes they just come in because you have your gals here who just do the massage, or cranial sacral, but there's like, so it's almost like you have these gradations, and then that works, and so they might try something else, and then they might actually do some energy work with you.
It's getting their confidence, because I will not do anything unless you give me free will. I'm just here to help read the energy around you. And those who maybe come in for a massage or a facial in the cranial, they see the activity or people coming to see me, that curiosity. Or they might hear someone going, thank you, Peggy. Oh, my God, you know, great session. So it's what they're hearing. But I think it's the vibration when they meet me that I don't ever come across, I don't think, intimidating, and that they can see I'm very sincere with what I want to do. I've had people from all walks of life, rich, famous, those who are struggling financially. I have reverends that come in. And yes, this one particular reverend, she came in, and she's looking around, and very nice, because she's more of a spiritualist. And I looked at her, and I go, may I ask, what happened to you at 14? And she looked at me, and she goes, why? I said, because that drama that happened at 14, you still hold on to. And if you want to get rid of that, I will be glad to help and show you how to do that. Well, she made an appointment, and she came in, and she had been raped and violated by a family member at 14. Another reverend, along with her, she had come in, and I looked at her, and I go, oh, I'm so sorry. A loss. There was a death. I said, at 23. And she started to well up, and she said, my sister, my best friend at 20, when I was 23, died. And it's just sometimes that energy is so strong there. It's like a signal to me, like, here I am, help me. So by targeting, as I did with those two people, it gave me credibility, I guess I should say, to the point that they came in and did a session, each with me.
Well, speaking of reverends and credibility, you belong to the Corinthian
Spiritualist Church in Jackson, Michigan. I'm a board member there. I speak, and I also do mediumship. We also do healing at the church. Matter of fact, the very first time I had gone to the church, and this is about 2 years ago, walked in, and this lady came up, and she gave me a hug, and she said, oh, my God, I'm glad you're here. And I go, well, thank you. She says, no, you're a healer. I see your energy. You are a healer. Please, when we call upon healers to come and to set and to heal today. Come to the altar. And I was dumbfounded in a way, and I went, I will see if I'm permitted. I'm sitting there in the pews, and they asked for the healers to come up, and I was still uncomfortable. This is a new church, and I'm a stranger. And all of a sudden, I get this horrible pain in my heart, and it's just pulling at me, but it's coming from the back side of me. And I turn around, and two pews back are two women. And Anthony, my spirit guide, goes, go to the one you know who needs help. I got up. I went down two rows and kneeled. And I said, you're having heart issues. And the lady looked at me, and she goes, yes. I said, would you allow me to take you to the side here and sit with you and to heal? And she did. And I read her, and I told her what was going on, and saw that she was going to go to the doctor on Monday. And I said, but you're going to be okay. Well, she was the only one I was prone to go and do healing with. 2 weeks later, I go back to the church. She's in the parking lot, her and her mother. She comes over, grabs me, throws her arms around me, starts bawling. She said, you're right. I am going to be okay. And from that moment on, I was just hooked at the church. So with becoming a board member, they not only had me come up to the altar to do healing, but I've had the pleasure of being a guest speaker there several times. But I work with Anthony, my spirit guide. But after each service, those who are comfortable and working with spirits, then we go up on the platform, and then I'm just guided to certain people, strangers. You know, as I see, you know, there's someone by this name standing with you, or I have a message for you. This is a description that's coming. I become a messenger, and it's wonderful. One of the ladies that was sitting there with her two daughters one day, and the spirit comes forth, and it's a man, middle age, and he's got a bathrobe on. And I looked at the spirit, and I went, you know, you could have dressed up, you know, coming to church. And he goes, no, there's a reason I come in my bathrobe. And I said, okay. I go, well, who do I go to for the message? And he goes, the woman there with the two daughters on the side. And so I asked if I could talk to them, and they said, yes. I said, I have a man here. I said, I feel he's a father, grandfather. I said, but he's arriving in a robe, and I'm telling him to behave because he's taking the robe, and he's down at the bottom trying to open it like he's going to flash me, but he's laughing, but he's not going that far up. And I don't want to know if he's got anything underneath or not. So they're laughing, and I gave the message that he wanted to say to his daughter and his granddaughters. So I did that, finished my message work. At the end of the service, then people will come up if they want messages again or continued. And the three people came up, and they were crying. And I said, are you okay? And they went, that was my father, my grandfather. He loved his bathrobe. He died in his bath. And when we would go over to visit him when he was still alive, he would take and open his robe like that, like he was going to flash us. So there was no doubt that that was the father and grandfather. But they just show up as clearly as I see you.
So when you live in this kind of world, because I would imagine it, for people that aren't used to it, it's kind of discombobulating. Like, you know, we sort of operate on one level of everything that is known is seen. And then every once in a while encounter people like you or places like this. We're not sure what to make of it. What do you say to people when they try to analyze this?
Well, it really is hard to describe. But it's truly something I know, see, feel as real as you. As real as I touch you. And by the way, I'm going to touch you because you know my fingers get cold. We have a spirit. I had to tell you because she does not want to be ignored, okay? It's just allowing yourself to believe. And I'm sure there's not a time in everyone's life that they stop and they turn around like they feel a presence. Believe in it. There is a presence there. The spirits, our loved ones, want to be acknowledged. They want you to know that they're with you. And how they get excited when there are those that can see them and work with them. For if you're not able to see them on your own or hear them, we can be their messengers. And it's absolutely amazing to see the delight on people's faces when I can describe who I see, certain gestures that they make me do for you just to, that confirmation, it is that person. or a name. Each one is so different, but they each have a message, and they want to know. So just for those who are skeptical, just allow yourself just to believe that one time when you might feel that presence and you turn around, you might be surprised who you're going to see or to feel, or a smell coming across that, my God, that smells like grandma, or, oh, that particular smell, I can relate to this person. They'll do everything that they're capable of letting you know they're here. I had a lady, probably about 65, 70, come in one day, looking around, and she goes, I'm just curious about this place, but I'm tired. Can I sit down? I said, please. And she sat there, and I'm looking at her, and I'm seeing a spirit. And she goes, I am just so distraught. I lost my beloved one, and I'm just so lost. And I'm looking at her, and at her side is this Airedale dog in spirit. And I said, your beloved that you're referring to, I said, was it your Airedale that died? The woman about fell out of the chair. And she goes, yes. How do you know that? And I said, because it's a male. He's sitting to your side. And he's showing me that he had something wrong with his throat. That, and she said, yes, he had throat cancer. And she's bawling by now. And she said, I don't know if I did all the right things for him. And the dog is going, yes. But what hurts him now is that he has come to be with you. But you don't feel him. Don't you notice every time there's like that vibration or that rub on your leg? You don't question what that is? And she goes, I thought maybe it was just like a fly or a mosquito. I said, no, it's him brushing your leg to let you know, I'm here. Pay attention to me. Love is unconditional, and our animals love us, and they come back to us. And that she couldn't, in her grief and sorrow, she wasn't allowing herself to feel that sensation or the presence of him. But now she would pay attention. Just as simply walking in the door and him allowing me to see him and to be his messenger.
Because I think, you know, that sounds very familiar to me. There's a side of you that wants to believe, and there's a side of you that goes, oh, it was just the wind, or it was just something, and you just really, really want it to be. So when that happens, when you go, oh, that was just the wind, what would you suggest is another way of looking at it?
Being open to all possibilities. And that life and love does carry on. And it's truly just that. It's having a faith, a wanting to know that maybe the physical body isn't here anymore, but their soul, their spirit, has that ability of coming back to be with you. We learn how to embrace, to touch, and to love, and not needing the physical body. It's like when they say people are just a thought away, or you can... How many times in your life you thought of somebody, my God, the phone rings, or they just show up. It's just that knowing, is that allowing yourself to explore all things that can't just be seen. And faith is believing not everything has to be seen.
I remember you said something to me that you said to your husband when he was analyzing or questioning, and you just said, well, you know, you can just let it be what it is and just observe.
I think when we start to try to analyze everything or dissect everything, just leave it. Just that first thought, that first instinct, go with it. Because it normally is true. In our life, when we meet somebody and that first thought, like, oh, don't go there. 99.9% of the time, you shouldn't have gone there. It's that inner voice, that intuition. The higher self wants to protect and guide you. It wants you to be the best of your best. It wants you to have the best in this journey here on earth. That's why we have that higher self. But how many times we turn from it? When we were created, the seventh chakra gave us everything we needed to survive. You know, I laugh and I see the cartoons about the good devil, the bad, you know, the little angel on one side. Do this, no. Do that, no. You know, people have that struggle within themselves. It's like, I know I shouldn't do this, but, can I find a way of getting away with it and do it anyway? We want to push the envelope. We wanted to see how far we can push our own boundaries. But if you want the best of your best, just stop, listen. Pay attention. Yes. It's simple. We just make life so complicated, and there's no reason for it. Life's journey is going to be ups and downs and valleys and hills, but it's what we make them to be. When people come in for the relationships, and so many women, they'll go, I keep asking, I keep praying that I want somebody, but they always end up being a toad. And I go, well, did you put in your request for a prince? You know, you got to be specific. You just ask for anybody. Well, you just got anybody. You've got to put in the details. It's that fine print. Put out what you want and what you don't want. Be happy with who and what you are. That is the key. Not making it somebody else's responsibility for your happiness. Normally, it's not going to happen, or a lot of grief along the way. When I, in my prayers and meditations every day, and when I turned 50, my request to the divine, I went, I am grateful for my 50 years on this earth. If my journey is to be another 50, I only request that it can be more fulfilling than the first half, if that is possible. And if I am to walk my journey alone, I will do that gladly, for my own responsibility for happiness comes from me. 55 comes around. Gentleman walks through that door, who I now call my husband, a year later. He is everything that I wanted, and more, and he was well worth the wait. And I think that's where patience come in. People want it now, an instant fix. No, it's not that. But enjoying that journey from point A to point B, because it is a wondrous journey if you make it just that. If you want it to be a struggle and horror, that's what you're going to get. But when you choose to be happy, and that's one of the things I like in my classes, go into the mirror, look at yourself, like what you see. Don't look at all your imperfections. Look at the beauty, the perfections that you do have. Like yourself. Better yet, love yourself. When you start loving yourself, the different vibration of people, you're going to bring forth to you the right person to you. Don't ask for a prince to come if you yourself are a toad. Spirit will put you where you need to go.
When you say spirit?
Spirit, I refer to the divine. But ironically, from being a supervisor for airlines and Marriott Corporation, Spirit had me by this shoe shop. Here's all these machines in there, and I'm going, oh my God. Now, the only thing about shoes, I love to go buy them. My closet shows that. But how the divine will put everything into place. But when divine speaks, you listen. You might veer off that path. But you know what? They're going to find a way to get you back on it. And I've learned it's easier just to go, yes, sir, and just do it.
That was a conversation with Peggy Bragdon Nichols from the cozy comfort of Serenity on Marshall's Main Street. This is writer-broadcaster Madonna Hamel.
I would like to say thank you for joining me this evening, and I hope that there was one topic in that interview that really piqued your interest. And for those who ever thought of addressing your chakras, well, you won't want to miss my next program, because we're going to be doing self-chakra balancing. So, get a chair ready, tune in, and let's tune up those chakras. So until next time, I hope that you will join me by visiting my websites, which are serenitypegginichols.com, along with davincichanneledart.com. So until next time, goodbye.